Word up. Look out for the cops, though.
Cash fruit.
Word up. 2 for 5s over here, baby. Word up. 2 for 5s. Them niggas got garbage down the way. Word up.
What's up, everybody? This is your Joffer, Papa Pump, Penizai, a.k.a. not your Mr. Nice Guy. More like Dimitri, take you home and twice guy. With my main man, John the Matt Maz, and we got a great guest on today. Her name is Phoenix Carnevale. If you follow her on Facebook, you'll see she's really big into interviewing combat athletes and commentating at many of the Muay Thai events out there. She's pretty well known and has a really interesting story, so I hope you guys enjoy. Maz, you got anything to say?
I'm just looking forward to meeting her in person.
Yeah, she's hot.
So guys, we're here with Phoenix Carnevale. I hope I said that the right way, right?
You did.
Excellent. I've been working on it. And I'm here with my main man, John the Matt Maz, and we're going to interview this woman who, honestly, if you follow her on Facebook, I have a feeling she's going to be a really big name in interviewing and commentating at certain martial arts events. And we got to ask this amazing person we have today, how did you get started in martial arts?
I have loved martial arts since I was about 7 or 8 years old. My dad was a third degree black belt under Peter Urban. It was American Goju. And they had always given me the speech that they didn't have enough money and they couldn't afford to put me in karate or, you know, whatever I wanted to do. But I was always interested in it because of martial arts movies and action movies. And then my dad was watching Bruce Lee on Channel 13. And it was his interview. It wasn't even, you know, a movie. It was him, you know, with the Be Like Water speech. And I remember being like a little kid and saying to myself, this guy understands the whole world. You know, this guy gets it. He's smart. And I didn't really understand conceptually what he was saying, but I wanted to meet him, you know. And I was like, Dad, can I meet Bruce Lee? Can I talk to Bruce Lee? And he was like, no, you can't. He's dead. And it was like my first understanding of what being dead meant, you know, like gone, never, ever again. I could never talk to this guy. I could never meet this person. I could never, but I was like super touched, like intellectually, not even. And then I started watching the movies and I was like blown away by what this guy could do. And then I didn't actually start martial arts until I had my own money and I was in my 20s, my early 20s.
That's such a common story for most of us. I know myself, the first time I seen a Bruce Lee movie, I felt the same way. I felt like Bruce Lee was just, he embodied everything. He had the look, he had the skills. Just kind of amazing that most of the kids from our generation, even our parents' generations, were, that was it. That was the standard.
Yeah, we're so heavily influenced by, you know, this one person.
Yeah, everybody wanted to break boards and do a split and wear the Chinese style t-shirt.
Have the abs, have the crazy abs.
Yeah, I thought I knew martial arts way before I knew martial arts. You know what I mean? Like, I thought I already knew it.
Now,
I had watched all the movies and I had, you know, and I just felt like I was a martial artist way before I had even started to train, you know?
Now, you said you started later when you were in your 20s. Now, I know who your coach currently is. Did you start with Krufil Nurse or you started somewhere else?
I started actually with Sato Karate, which is a derivative of Kyokushin.
So Sato Karate meaning whose group is that? Not Sato Kaikan, Sato Sato Juku?
Nakamura, Tadashi Nakamura.
Yeah.
And it's like Kyokushin light, you know what I mean? It's much more family oriented. It wasn't as hardcore as I would have liked it to be. But it did teach me how to be a very good person. It taught me how to be a martial artist first. Because if I wouldn't have done that first, I probably just would have been like all fighter, you know what I mean, in a lot of ways. But it definitely wasn't as hardcore as I would have liked it to have been. But I did get a lot of the sense of, you know, Buddhism and Bushido and Japanese culture. And then from there, I got all the way up to brown belt, and I didn't want to go for my black belt for a few reasons. I hadn't been really punched in the face. Mm-hmm. And I didn't like the point fighting. I kept getting disqualified for excessive force. And, you know, I didn't feel like a black belt. I didn't feel like I belonged. I didn't want a black belt just because I had memorized a bunch of katas and could do a couple things. So I needed to get punched in the face. So what I did was I went to Western boxing, because I knew that karate had made me very stiff, and I looked at the way boxers moved and the footwork, and I was like, I need to do that. So I went through a huge breakup. I had no place to live. I had no money. And I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just going to use my money, and I'm going to use it to box. So I went to Gleason's gym, and I boxed for like a year and a half. And then from there, I got hurt. I got really hurt. I hurt my foot. And I had to just do, you know, and I followed Bruce Lee. I got hurt. What was I going to do? I couldn't train. So I was going to train my mind. So I started reading everything and anything about all these different martial arts. I like became an encyclopedia about all these different martial arts. And I came across Phil Nurse. And I was like, this guy is like Muhammad Ali, Bruce Lee, and then there's this Thai stuff. And, you know, I was introduced to Thai boxing because of the UFC. And I remember watching it or watching some sort of like Thai boxing and K1 at like midnight on ESPN, you know. So I remembered that, and then that sparked my memory, and I was like, I got to find this guy. And even though I couldn't train, I met Phil, and I would sit at the window next to him and watch him teach for like a good 6 or 7 months until I was able to start kicking and punching again. And it's been a great relationship ever since. You know, the guy has become like probably the closest person to me.
That's awesome. I mean, it's funny because I think the first time I ever saw you was at a Warriors Cup. I was fighting that night as well. And I just remembered you were fighting one of my friends, Ann Lieberman, and I didn't know where you were from, whose gym. Then I saw you get on stage, and I went, wow, this chick is beautiful. And and then they were like, yeah, she's from the Watt. So I already had high expectations. Then when you fought, I remember threatening my friend Ann. I said, if you punch her in the face, we can never be friends again. And then you went out there, and you did awesome. You two put on a crazy fight, and it was cool because I noticed Phil, anytime you put somebody in the ring, they're going to be exceptional.
Well, he pushes us, you know, and she was so much fun to fight too because she wanted it just as bad as I did, you know. And it was just like, after a while, her and I were just like, we just threw caution in the wind, and we just kept hitting each other. It was like, it looked like two cartoon characters, like when you just see like arms and legs and things swimming and like a big ball of dust.
Yeah.
You know? So she was just really a lot of fun to fight. And I see her sometimes at Henzo's, and she's just like, she just seems like such a nice girl.
No, she's honestly a sweetheart. And it's cool because you both seem so down to earth and nice. So it was kind of like, you know, two of the nicest people beating the crap out of each other and just throwing caution to the wind.
Yeah, I mean, that's fighting. I mean, it's like fighting to us, as we're martial artists, is the same as playing soccer against somebody. It's the same as playing basketball. There's really no anger, no, you know, beat somebody up, tough guys involved. I worked really hard for this. I trained really hard for this. This is the skills that I want to execute. This is what I want to do. And it just, instead of kicking a ball or swinging a bat, I'm swinging my hands. I'm kicking my legs. Like, you know, that's what it is. Like, some of my closest friends are people that I spar with. And I do have an issue with hitting my friends. And it's something that I try to get over sometimes, especially because of what I do as a martial arts journalist and everything. But that kind of goes out the window sometimes too, where you have to kind of just look, this is about, it's my day to win. It's my day. You know, you have to believe that. And it's a level of confidence, and it's such a mental game. And I think that's why I love it so much, you know?
Now, did you remember by chance? I remember when you were fighting, I was on the sideline. I was saying something. Actually, I was singing something. I believe it was something like, once upon a time I was falling in love. Now, do you remember that or no?
No, I definitely didn't.
Damn.
We're so grateful you did it.
So funny, because when I am fighting or training, the only thing I hear is Phil. I try to tune myself into, you know, his voice, and like, I am affected by the crowd, but again, I'm not. I try to tune in to just... And then I have asthma, so a lot of the times I can't hear over my own breathing because I sound like James Brown.
Now, Phoenix, I got a question for you. You said you were injured and you kind of like switched up from being a one style fighter to more of like a book. I don't want to call it a nerd, but more of a student of the game. Is that kind of when you found your love for becoming part of like the commentating style, the commentating aspect of the sport?
Yeah, but I think I was always interested in the science and the the technique and the mental aspect. I study psychology pretty intensely, and but being injured actually helped me. Okay, I couldn't use my body, so I had to use my mind, you know, much more. And sometimes it is very hard to balance the two, because you'll spend so much time in the gym training that you're exhausted. I don't want to read anything. I don't want to, you know.
You don't want to interview smelly guys after a fight.
Yeah.
It's kind of like you're just shot, you know. So that was a blessing in disguise in a lot of ways, you know.
So now we got to know, what got you into interviewing and commentating? Like, what was your first job that you had to do, and did you immediately, like, take a loving to it?
Oh, my God. It's kind of a funny story. But so, like, I've always been into performing, and I really wanted to be an action hero when I was younger. I saw Terminator 2, and I was really messed up by it. I was like, wait a second. Linda Hamilton is in shape. She can act. And she's in a movie with Arnold freaking Schwarzenegger? I can't do this crap. I remember I was sitting next to my father in the movie theater, and I punched him in the shoulder and was like, Dad, you know? And then I went to see that movie 11 times in the movie theater. It's like the most I've ever seen a movie in the movie theater, you know? And that's what I really didn't want to be an actor. And then I started doing stand-up comedy, and I was a comedian for a while. So I was comfortable with, like, being on camera and all that. And then I was like, yeah, you know, I want to do, like, a sports show that's funny, you know, and then use the psychological aspect of it. And I saw Phil on this, like, little show. That's how I first discovered him. And I called them up, and I was like, look, man, the host you have sucks. She doesn't care about martial arts. She's just got boobs. You really, and I don't know why I did this. I just had balls. Like, I just called them, and I was like, she sucks. And they were like,
that's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, they're like, who the hell are you? So I wound up doing, like, little interviews, like, here and there. And then there was MySpace at the time, right? And Matt Serra was always on MySpace, and he would talk about nerdy stuff. Like, he would talk about Star Wars, and he would talk about... So I would respond to a lot of his posts.
Did he want to beat you up because you were being mean to him?
So I was like, never being mean to him. We just had all this stuff in common. So I said, hey, listen, would you mind if I interviewed you? And I had just done, like, one or two little tiny interviews with, like, nobodies and stuff. And he was like, So he looked at my resume, he looked at my stuff. He was like, I got to meet this girl in person to make sure that she's not a psycho, you know? So he met me in person, and he was like, you're awesome, you're hilarious. All right, I'll let you interview me. So I interviewed him on, like, a really tiny, I don't know, somebody's HD camera, you know, and just threw it up online and just got a couple of thousand hits. And then I just started doing that with other fighters, like Kung Lee. And, you know, these guys just kind of gave me a shot because I was funny, you know? And also, too, when we talked about the sport, at the time, I guess a lot of women weren't really into it yet. So I was really educated about the sport, and they were surprised by that, and they thought it was cute. And then one thing led to another, and more people would let me interview them. And then Eddie from Take On was like, oh, well, she actually knows what she's talking about. And then he gave me my first commentary gig. And I was so nervous that I emailed Joe Rogan for advice.
Oh, wow.
And he got back to me.
You know, I find it unique because, honestly, you're very marketable. You have a great look. And it's cool to see you interviewing all these top-notch people. So I got to know, out of all the people you've interviewed so far, you know, we have to know who's the favorite person out of everybody so far. What's the interview that really was just so exciting and just something you found the most pleasure in?
Honestly, there's different people for different things. My favorite person to be on camera with is Matt Serra, for just, like, goofiness. Even still, even years later, and I've interviewed a bunch of people, I still love him. My favorite person to be, like, nerdy and yet spiritual with and is Phil, because Phil's wife is like, you guys are like an old kung fu movie every time you're together. You know, we, like, telepathically talk and stuff. It's weird. So that's kind of cool. I love him. And then the only time I've ever been really freaked out and starstruck was Anderson Silva. Yeah. I was a wreck.
That's kind of a big deal. I mean, you handled it well. I mean, like I said, you have a very high level of professionalism. I mean, I know if that was me, I would probably be like, hi. Yeah, I would have nothing to say. I'd be so nervous.
Since I'm a comedian first, I was like, I'm not going to pretend that I'm not nervous. I'll just make an episode about me being nervous. So the interview is all about me being nervous. So I told him in advance, I said, listen, I'm really starstruck. I'm going to be starstruck on camera on purpose. Just go with it. And he was like, no problem. So we did this thing where I would say stupid questions or I'd start sweating profusely and he would make faces at me and, you know, he went with it. And we really appreciated him for that. And then, you know, this weekend I interviewed Pat Barry and we just got along so well. Like we've known each other for like 30 years that the interview went off really well. It was really cool.
Yeah, I happened to catch that one online today. And it was, I liked that comment that you put up before. It was like, we filmed this on my iPhone. Don't make fun of me.
Yeah. Don't give me any crap for it being low quality, because you know people online, they'll love to hate on you for any little thing.
It's all about the good content, not the quality of the video.
Yeah, I gotta be honest, I made a phony Facebook just to write crap about it. I want you to know that.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
So now, Phoenix, are you currently training, and if so, are you still with Phil? Are you training multiple places, and with your training, what are some goals of yours?
Honestly, I just want to get better every single day. I love martial arts. I'm not a Muay Thai person or a Dutch kickboxing person or jiu-jitsu person. I love all of it. I love every single aspect of the martial arts. I do train with Phil. I tore my labrum. So, like, the foot issue, you know, went to my upper body and then my shoulder, so I tore my labrum. So I've been out of the game for, like, the last couple months. But I still want to train, you know, as much as possible. So I train with Phil, but I also want to train with everybody that I can all over the world, all over the tri-state area, because I just have such appreciation for all different martial artists and martial arts and what everybody has to offer that my plan in April, once I'm able to start holding pads again, is to travel to every gym that I'm able to travel to and train with, you know, all the different instructors and all the different martial artists. I started jiu-jitsu about a month ago. I mean, I've always, you know, rolled here and there just to kind of know more and more about the sport, especially since I have to interview people. But a little bit more consecutively lately, I've been over at Henzo's and, you know, I love it. I did this Paradise Warrior retreat and the first double leg takedown I ever learned was from Frankie Edgar, and that was like amazing, you know.
That's awesome. Like,
that's awesome.
Yeah, that was really great. That was really great.
I know somebody who's really good you could train with. You know, he specializes in Dutch kickboxing. He's 5'5", you know, crew cut, handsome. Wait, I'm talking about myself.
I told you I would come up there.
I know, I'm waiting on you.
No, I'm serious. I might actually see you tomorrow.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, we might see you tomorrow. So yeah, watch out for that.
Perfect. Hey, awesome. I'm off from work tomorrow.
But Aziz, when he comes back, I'm going to train with Aziz for a little bit. You know, that's almost the only good thing about not fighting right now.
Yeah, you can cross train and have a good time.
Anybody? Huh?
No, you can cross train and have a good time and not worry about any politics right now.
I know, but I honestly, at the WKs this weekend, and I was looking at the girls, and I just had like this twinge of like, ugh.
You know, wanted to fight, didn't you?
Yeah, I really did. I really did. It was hard for me. It was.
Well, I'll tell you what. You know what it is that even right now I'm kind of back. I'm bowing out right now, and you never lose that fire. And I've seen you in the ring, and honestly, you have like an aggression and a passion for it. So even if you take a break from it, you're always gonna want to do it.
Hopefully, yeah, maybe in a couple months, like, I'll feel a little bit better and I'll be healthy and I'll start up again and, you know, and maybe I will do the WKAs next year and whatnot. But I get really irritated when I go to a lot of these UFC events and I hear how the reporters talk to the fighters sometimes or the things that they say. And I just get so annoyed because I think I understand the fighters because I am one of them.
Absolutely. You know?
And it almost stops me from asking certain questions that I already know the answers to.
Like, oh, how did you train for this fight? Was it hard?
Yeah, it's like...
I smoked cigarettes and drank whiskey all weekend.
Yeah, why didn't you finish him? That annoys the shit out of me. That's like the most annoying... Because sometimes I feel that people take away from the opponent by asking the athlete what they did wrong. It's like, maybe it's not that the athlete sucks, it's that their opponent was just that good.
Absolutely.
Do you feel that there's too many people that are in the mixed martial arts business doing interviews that aren't actually
qualified?
Not even that they're qualified. They're not actually fighters, or they've never trained, or maybe they come from just some karate background from when they were 10 years old, or they just don't have time in the sport.
Maybe. Or they're just insensitive. You know? I mean, I don't think you necessarily have to be like the best fighter in the world to be an interviewer, or, you know, or sometimes you need people who are a little insensitive because they'll get the story, you know, and they'll ask the questions, and you need those people too. I'm just not that person. I'm more like, I want to talk to you. I want to have fun with you. I want to understand you. I want to, you know, I want to crack jokes. I want to be lighthearted. I want to show the softer side of martial arts. I want to celebrate the athleticism. So I'm not going to, you know, ask you about your contract, and, you know, that's just not the thing that I am. I don't really like when commentators commentate and they don't train. That annoys the shit out of me. I don't even believe you should be allowed to, you know. Dana White made a great comment. He just didn't believe that a judge should be allowed to judge unless they've done jiu-jitsu. And I was like, yeah, of course. You know, like, absolutely. So I feel like you should have some background in the sport. Some, you know.
It's true. I mean, because it's funny because you got Joe Rogan who's actually training. Then you got Mike Goldberg going, what should he do from here?
You know? Goldberg actually does train Muay Thai with Mark De La Grada.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know if he does any jiu-jitsu. Goldberg's a friend of mine. I don't know if he does any jiu-jitsu, but I know he definitely does Thai boxing. Oh. And he has for a few years.
So I didn't know that. That's interesting. So, I mean, are we going to see any aspirations of you maybe try to get into the UFC and do some interviewing, commentating?
I don't know if I would commentate. I don't think I have enough experience to commentate unless I would do play-by-play. But I definitely love – I mean, I do interviews. I am – you know, I do get press credentials for them. They're great with me. And that's because of Dana. Dana actually is the one who gave me a shot, so I appreciate that. But yeah, like, I eventually want my own martial arts show. And then, of course, to commentate for, like, you know, I would love to commentate for Glory.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that would be awesome. But yeah, who knows? Maybe in a few years, we'll see.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe you'll be the commentator at Glory and I'll be the guy booing you as you're commentating. Who knows?
Maybe. Who knows?
You set the record for the shortest guy ever fighting Glory.
I know, exactly.
There you go. Yes.
So
Phoenix, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
It seemed like you kind of have a busy schedule. You're fighting, you're training, you're commentating, you're traveling, you're doing all kinds of different stuff. Typical day for you. What is it like? We got to know. The fans have to know.
It depends on the day.
Okay, like, tell us about an exciting day, not a boring one.
Yeah.
So an exciting day? Oh my God.
Make it sound provocative too. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, if I have, like, I might have a casting, you know, or I have to go audition for something, or I'll wake up and, you know, have my coffee, maybe write some jokes, head to the gym. I teach classes and I do personal training. That's my day job. Because the martial arts stuff really doesn't pay very well right now.
I agree.
You don't commentate every single day. And then, you know, I'll teach classes or I'll train clients, then I'll head to the WOD, I'll train for a little bit. If I get to do some BJJ, then I'll head to Henzo's, and then at night I'll teach a couple more classes, or I'll write, or if it's a UFC event, then I'll head to the weigh-ins. My partner, Kaleem, and I will shoot the weigh-ins, then we'll try to edit on the spot, or like the next day, then send it into SB Nation, and then they'll put it up, and then we'll go to the fights. And the fight nights, it's like I'll work out myself in the morning, hair and makeup, then head to the fight, then be there for the fight, do the post-fight press conference, do the media scrum with Dana, and then, you know, go home, rest, and then start my week again with my personal training and my group fitness, and, you know, try to get to work out and train myself and write some more jokes, bitch about the subway on Facebook, you know, and ask Matt Serra for relationship advice.
That's exactly what I would do.
He's actually gives great advice, you know, and then I talk to Phil about whatever, and you know, baby a bunch of fighters because I don't have kids, so like they're my kids, and that. That's a week. That's a typical, if the UFC's in town, if the fight's happening, if there's a take on show, same type of thing. Head to the weigh-ins, make sure I try to get everybody's name right. Me and Larry Legend will be like, how do you say that? And then, you know, then be ready for whatever show or fight or what's happening. And, you know, it's great. I mean, combat sports are where I've always wanted to be, you know, combat sports and comedy.
So you're talking about going for some auditionings and castings and things like that. Are you working on any big projects that, like, let us know about? Do you have any kind of maybe a few things up your sleeve maybe you can talk about, maybe you can't?
Or any kind of future goals?
The goal is to have a show, a 30-minute show that would be on, like, either Comedy Central or Fox Sports One.
That's
or
perfect.
Any
you
of
could,
those
you could draft us over there.
What'd you say?
It's perfect because that's exactly what we want to do. We should be on Comedy Central already, pretty much.
Yeah, I know. I mean, basically, you could be the face of the group, and we'll just be like the people who carry your microphone and everything.
No, I seriously would hope for many different people on the show, because my goal is to produce martial arts related media. I don't always want to be on camera my whole life. You know, I'm not going to be cute forever. So
I am.
Yeah, I know. I've been working on it.
So I would like a 30-minute show with different segments that are related to. See, my goal is to have a combat sports pop culture show. So I would cover everything from movies that are coming out. Like, I just covered the Rocky on Broadway. So anything that's, you know, and then anything that's combat sports related.
I heard you hated that Rocky on Broadway.
I freaking loved it.
Somebody lied to me.
I hated the Bruce Lee show.
Oh, that's it. Sorry, I was confused.
Bruce Lee, it was so bad. It was, like, painful. It was, like, awful. So I would, you know, we'd have movie reviews or play reviews. We'd have, like, a segment on techniques. We'd have a segment on fitness. We'd have a segment on, like, we'd have a skit, which we'd make fun of somebody, you know, do some sort of martial arts related skit. I'm working on a big skit right now that I can't tell you about, but it's going to be funny as hell. It's a skit about the most annoying people to watch fights with.
Oh, man.
I've sat next to all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's something everybody could relate to. So we're doing that. And then, you know, so, and then we're just in show development. So for the next year, we're going to work on developing the show and then just trying to pitch it to networks and stuff like that. But it would be martial arts, it all combat sports and action related. So I would cover like Avengers 2 and talk to the stunt choreographer for that. And like all types of different segments, you know, talk to a different athlete. My goal is to have enough funding that, like, let's say my interview with John Jones is not just us sitting in front of each other. It'd be like me and John Jones go skydiving, you know, just really strange interviews where it's sort of like my adventures. My life is like a Seinfeld episode if Seinfeld studied martial arts and the soundtrack of the show was like done by the RZA of the Wu-Tang Clan. Like, that's what my life feels like. And I think that would make a good show.
Hey, it sounds awesome.
I might watch it once.
Now, okay, this is one of the biggest reasons why I think you're awesome, okay? There's many reasons, but this is one of the biggest reasons right here. I know you're huge into comic books, okay? It's very rare, and is this something that you've always been into? And how did you get into it, and what's your favorite superhero? All
right, well, I have an older brother. Actually, I have three brothers. I'm the only girl.
Baby or one of the oldest?
I'm in the middle. So my mother and father had me and my brother David, and he's older than me. And then my father and my ex-stepmother, my father got divorced again.
I'm confused.
They had two kids.
Okay, so two kids from three different moms.
Something like that.
Okay, right? Gotcha.
As long as you guys aren't really related.
Moms and four kids. I'm the only girl, right? So there's a 40-year-old, then there's me, then there's a 22-year-old, and there's a 19-year-old.
So you're 23.
Yeah, yeah. Let's
okay,
just
perfect.
Go with that.
Wait.
Okay.
Wait, really?
No.
Oh. Oh man.
So
got me
my
all excited
brother
and hot and bothered.
Was the watching me. He was babysitting, and I would never go to sleep. I always had so much energy, I just would not go to sleep. So I would insist that he would have to read me a bedtime story, which he did not want to do. He wanted to read his comic books. So my brother, being the smart man that he is, he decided to kill two birds with one stone and read me his comic books. So my bedtime stories were X-Men comics.
Oh, that's so awesome.
Right. And then when I got older, as a gift, my brother gave me those comics, like, you know, kind of a special thing between the two of us. But I started reading comics as soon as I got older because I was so familiar with them because my brother had read them to me. And then I just, you know, stuck with it for many years ever since and got really, and my name was Phoenix and X-Men had a Phoenix. So I got really, really into it.
So out of all the X-Men, who's your favorite X-Men?
Well, it's either Phoenix or Wolverine.
Now, Wolverine or Hugh Jackman Wolverine? Because Hugh Jackman's dreamy.
It's pretty hot, but I would have rather them kept it like the pure Wolverine. Like, you know, Wolverine's supposed to be 5'3".
Just like, I'm 2 inches taller.
You know, Wolverine's supposed to be short and hairy and... But he, well, you know, Hugh Jackman did a good job. I'll give him some credit for that.
You know, I definitely do. It's funny though because Hugh Jackman almost plays his own version of Wolverine, which is also very entertaining.
Yeah.
And it's funny you said Wolverine's supposed to be short and hairy. That's like if you combine me and John together. Would that be your dream man?
So who's the hairy one?
He's the hairy one. I'm the short one.
I mean, together our superpowers combined, we could be a really good athlete.
I know, it'd be crazy.
Well, that's awesome. Well, eventually there'll be genetic splicing and everybody will be happy, right?
Yeah, then I'll finally have a chance with you.
or growth hormone.
You know what I really have a thing for?
What's that?
I really have a thing for Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, he's awesome, isn't he?
Just have so, and like, I was never a real big Iron Man fan. And now I'm like, love Iron Man.
Tony Stark's.
Yeah. He's the man. I mean, well, you know what it is? Robert Downey Jr. plays the character so perfect.
I think, too, he's older and he's kind of having like that second career after his little bit of, personal issues. Yeah. And he's kind of coming to his own as not an older guy, but maybe a more mature guy.
So if I told you I knew him and I could introduce you to, would that excite you?
I would be as starstruck as I was with Anderson Silva, possibly worse.
Because there's no way in hell I could make that happen. So.
Oh, my goodness. No. Yeah, I love him.
Hey, if you come up and train tomorrow, you have to check out our actual in-person studio. I think you might be impressed.
Yes.
Sure, okay. I'll check it out.
Yeah.
Why would I be impressed? Do you have, like, an Iron Man like statue in there or something?
No, I'm gonna paint on a mustache and a goatee, and I'm gonna buy one of those Iron Man helmets. It's something like that.
And that's it.
That's it. It's amazing.
Okay.
All right. We gotta know more about you, and we have one more. Actually, we have a few more questions, but the next one is, you know, besides doing Muay Thai, Jiu-Jitsu, any kind of martial art, is there any kind of type of cross training that you do when you're not training martial arts?
I try to, you know, keep up with my conditioning and stuff and keep myself strong, especially since I've had a number of injuries. And I train with this guy, Narius, at this Train P3, and it's circuit training. And I train with a bunch of girls that are pole dancers, professional pole dancers.
Do they want to be on the show?
You have no idea the shape that these girls are in.
Oh, I do. I've heard.
Hourglass.
They are incredible, and they really make you step up your fitness game. So I try to do that with them, and I make sure that, you know, I keep my shoulder stable, my core strong, and all the stuff that gets messed up when you do martial arts. And, you know, I train with them, and that is, it's really fun, especially when I try to always be around people that are a step above me so that I can step myself up. And these girls are in the shape that they're in. It's amazing.
We're going to have a poll in the studio if you want to bring one along or show us some of their moves that you've learned. You're more than welcome to.
And I'll sing a Pussycat Doll song. I'll be like, loosen up my buttons, baby. That'll help.
Okay.
All right. Now, Phoenix, are there any kind of diet restrictions or anything you do to stay in shape as far as just nutritionally?
The thing about that is it just depends on what's going on. There's times where I'm definitely 10 pounds, like, heavier than I should be, you know?
Well, and, like, you carry it well.
I appreciate that. I am Puerto Rican. It works. So, but when I'm leaning down, there's something that there's a lot of people who believe in, oh, it's paleo or vegan or this or that. I actually just really listen to my body. So there's times where, like, I really don't want a lot of animal protein. I feel like it's weighing me down, and I like, you know, having maybe two vegan meals a day and then one, like, my dinner having an animal protein. And then I feel leaner and faster and, like, you know, sharper and have a little bit more energy. And then there's times where I do eat paleo and I do eat a lot of meat. So I go pretty much by how my body feels. But my main basis of nutrition is, did God make it or did Nabisco? You know what I mean? Like, if it's natural and it came from the earth, chances are it's what I should be eating.
But sometimes Chinese food just tastes so good.
What'd you say?
Sometimes Chinese food just tastes so good.
Sometimes it does. I mean, my biggest cheat food is probably pizza.
Really? What kind of pizza?
Oh, have you guys ever gone to Spumoni Gardens in Brooklyn?
I've seen it, yeah, and I've heard about it.
We're going. One day we will all go.
Is that a shameless plug?
Oh, I think so.
They do not sponsor me, so that, there's no motive for that. It's amazing.
So how often do you go there, realistically?
Because we're going to stalk you.
Yeah.
Maybe twice a year, like in the summertime.
All right, so I'll start waiting now.
it's right across the street from, like, I wouldn't say across the street, but it's very close to Coney Island, the boardwalk in Coney Island.
Now, just so people know, are you in Manhattan, or, because I myself was confused by that, because I know you go to the Watt, you go to here and there. Are you a city girl, or you're, you know?
Yeah, I live in the Village.
Oh, nice, nice.
I live in the Village.
So that's got to be a lot of fun.
It is. I mean, I love Manhattan, but I definitely see a need to get the hell out of here as much as possible. I really do hope for the type of job that I'm aspiring to become, and the reason that I'm hustling so hard is so that I can leave, because it's a beautiful planet, you know? And again, that's part of the martial arts, is Taoism and everything for me. And it's, you know, worshiping and appreciating this planet. You know, I was coming back from England one time and I met this girl from Australia, and I don't even know where she had been. She was just telling, and she had camped over here and on this mountain and done this and that. She had been gone. She had been away from home for 3 months. And I said, wow, aren't you homesick? And she was like, no, you know, Earth is my home. And I know that sounds corny and cliche, but she was so sincere about how she said it. She really meant it. She wasn't saying it to be like, you know, she was like, no, everywhere is home. You know, I live on the planet. Mm. She really meant it like that.
Cocaine's, and
it was
a, like, hell of a drug.
It kind of totally blew my mind, because one of the things I hate about living in the city is that you can't see stars. You can't realize, like, how infinite everything is if you can't really look up at the sky and see just how many stars there are.
Sometimes, so, in New York City too, people, they never leave their neighborhoods, or they never leave the city, because there's so much different multicultural and diversity there that have immigrated to Manhattan. I mean, that's a place that's worldly renowned. But you are right. Like, you do need to leave. You do need to see the rest of the world. There's a famous quote. It's like, don't tell me what a man knows. Tell me where he's been.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. But it's not even just, I love human beings. I love people. I mean, I love you. I love you too. I love people, but don't you want to look up at the stars? Don't you want to look at, like, beautiful places and bodies of water and mountains and rivers? And, you know, I feel, like, so limited that there's so many things. I haven't been to Brazil yet. I haven't been to China yet. I haven't been to Thailand yet.
Oh, you love Thailand.
Every time I get jealous.
You love China.
People are like, we're in Thailand right now. And it's on Facebook. And I'm like, motherfucker. You know? But yeah, I haven't. There's a lot of places I haven't seen yet, and I have such wanderlust. It's definitely a goal for me.
Well, I actually travel quite a bit for work and for leisure. I'm pretty much never home except the days of the podcast with Joff. But we are planning a few training trips, and then we might go to one of our friends' kettlebell seminars abroad. So we will keep you up to date, because I'm always on the road. I live out of a suitcase and sometimes people's couches. So
yeah.
And I'm an amazing kisser, so, I mean, together we're a dangerous combination.
That's always a plus.
Oh, well, you did some amazing traveling recently. You went to some foreign state. I believe it's, I could be butchering the pronunciation, Virginia.
Virginia, yes, for the WKAs and for Pat Barry's return to kickboxing.
How was that? How was the tournament? How was everything? Because, you know, Facebook's kind of like, oh, it's horrible, you know, and then, oh, so great.
Well, they're both right, if you want my honest opinion. The people were weighing in until 10 o'clock at night, all right? Which is freaking awful, right? And then it was like, are you fighting? Are you not fighting? I'm number 293. I got here at 9 o'clock in the morning. It was a bit of a mess.
Well, that
and
was the situation. That was our same situation when we were in Italy for Joffre's fight.
For Worlds, WKA Worlds.
WKA Worlds. I was just there as a cornerman and coach, but that was, no offense, it was pretty unorganized because they were saying, you're fighting on this day, and then, no, you're not fighting on this day, and then you're fighting on this day, and then you're, you know, you're rushing around to go back to the hotel and get your gear, and a 50-euro cab ride later, and I don't know, I didn't, it seems to be an epidemic with them, with their organizational skills.
Yeah, and that is the problem. Now, why is that? Is it because it's not funded well? They're understaffed? Is that part of it? Is it, you know what I mean? I think that probably is the case. You know, it's like one or two people trying to run the whole thing, and maybe it's something that they're not equipped to do. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if that's the case. That's what it seemed like to me. I think the heart of it is in the right place, but it just needs to be whipped into shape, and it needs to be, you know, just, I don't know, better funding. I mean, usually is the problem for everything. And then the positive stuff was, I don't know, this is going to sound stupid, but I was so proud of everybody. You know, even people who weren't my team. I was like, oh, Satan. Oh, Gracie Academy. Like, I was just so, like, overwhelmed by how happy I was. Even if people lost, it didn't matter, but they trained really hard, they stepped themselves up. It's the amateurs, it's where you learn about yourself, it's where you learn how to, like, deal with the adrenaline dump, listen to your trainer, you know, deal with the judges, deal with the whole situation, the nerves. So all in all, it's a very good experience, but it should be run a little better. I agree.
Now, how was the pro card? What was your opinion on that? Well, like, because I didn't view anything. So overall, how was the organizational skills with that? And how was the quality of the fights?
Quality of the fights were good. There were some guys at Alliance fights, and they were very tricky. You know, when you fight people who are like, you just can't time them, you can't figure it out. So it made really good fighters kind of look awkward.
Mm-hmm.
But it was good. It was a good event. Some fights you thought maybe a little mismatched, like Francois Mbang came out, leg kicked a guy, and then the fight was over.
Aye.
It was, no, you can't. He needed a little bit more of a challenge, you know, a little bit more of a challenging opponent. But that happens sometimes. And it was good. You know, the only problem is I had a co-commentator who doesn't know the difference between play-by-play and color, so he tried to do it all.
Huh.
I was like, he just wouldn't stop talking, so that was really frustrating for me.
So when are me and you going to be a dynamic duo and commentate at, like, take-on and stuff? Because Sean Fagan's gone. He's actually on my podcast tomorrow, and I'm going to tell him, sucks to be you, bro.
Well, I don't know when there's another take-on show. That's the only problem. You know, I love working with him. I just love Sean. I just think he's such a great guy, and everything that he's doing for the sport, and we need somebody like him. I just think he's fantastic.
Yeah, and he's got the most amazing eyes I've ever seen.
I don't know about that.
I do.
Sick, Jaffa.
All right, so Phoenix, we don't want to take too much more of your time. So just before we wrap up, any shout-outs or sponsors or anything like that that you want to name?
I mean, I would like some sponsors, so if there's anyone looking to sponsor me, then I could shout. They could shout me out.
So do we.
There you go.
You know, I just, honestly, I'm really appreciative to everybody who watches and gives me feedback and, you know, helps me expand and grow as a martial artist. I, you know, of course, shouting out to everybody, you know, my team at the Watt. I'm really proud of them right now. And but just to all the martial artists out there, I'm really thankful that we all support each other. And it's a great, great, great time for combat sports now. And I'm really happy about that. And, you know, just subscribe to the YouTube channel, because we have more and more stuff coming out, and let me know what you want to see. And, you know, hit me up on Twitter. It's Microphone Fiend, like P-H-O-E-N, Microphone Fiend, like Microphone Fiend, Eric B. and Rakim. If you're young, you have no idea what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Joffrey has no idea. He has a blank stare in his face.
I'm 28, and I'm just like, is that young?
Eric B. and Rakim? You don't know who Eric B. and Rakim are?
My mom doesn't let me cross the street alone, so.
Okay.
I'll play some for him later.
Please do. So Microphone Fiend, and then you can always hit me up on Facebook as well, and, you know, and we will stay in touch.
Absolutely. So we had an awesome time, and hopefully I'm going to run into you very soon.
Probably tomorrow.
All right. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time, and we'll make sure we put this out there and try to get you some sponsors.
Fantastic.
All right. Anything else, John, before we head out?
No. That's the money, dollar bill, yo. Cash moves everything around me.